I was going to ask you, Jonathan, what types of animals does it go after? What, you know, is its prey?
Now, basically, it's domestic livestock. Both large things like sheep, goats, and cattle, and small things like chickens, poultry, ducks, guinea pigs, rabbits. There have been accounts of it attacking people, but although I'm not prepared to dismiss those accounts, the three reports which I have personally investigated of attacks on people, I was not convinced by, but I'm not prepared. I'm not going to say that they have never attacked people.
When you say you weren't convinced by it, was it because of the authenticity of the person making the report? Perhaps you didn't find the kind of evidence you needed to find. What was that? What made you hedge a little bit with these reports?
I wasn't impressed by the authenticity either of the people who claimed to have been attacked, or by the or of the investigators who actually dealt with the case. I felt that in each of the three cases which I personally investigated, they had their own agenda, and whereas my agenda is purely to find out what the truth is. I don't go into any investigation with the idea that I'm trying to bolster up any particular theory or any particular intellectual mindset. The whole job of the Centre for 14 Zoology is to find out the truth behind a particular incident. And nine times out of ten, the truth turns out to be something particularly mundane. And in each of the cases where I investigated so-called attacks on people, the people involved I felt that they had a particular agenda which had clouded their judgment in what actually happened.
Does this creature swoop down on a farm, let's say, grab the livestock, take it away, eat it, or does it eat it on the scene? How does it attack?
It attacks on the scene. Now, the two most important cases which I investigated, one was in Puerto Rico and one was in Mexico. And if I may, I'll do the Puerto Rico one first.
Okay.
It was a little farm where they breed roosters for cockfighting. Now, I hate blood sports. I don't approve of blood sports at all, but I'm not one of these horrible middle-class Englishmen who goes to another country and tells people how they're supposed to live their lives.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, though. I don't like them either.
So I went in there, and I spoke to the man who owned the farm. I met him, a guy called Oscar, and he told me how 2 days before, 28 roosters, which had been his prize-winning roosters, the best of his stock, had been attacked by chupacabra in the middle of the night, and this thing had come in. It had twisted the metal on the cages, and these were quite substantial cages. They were made of the sort of wire which you have around tennis courts. And I don't know what that sort of wire is, but it's not just ordinary chicken mesh.
I'm not sure a man could do that.
I'm not sure a man could do it. I certainly couldn't.
Yeah.
And These things had all been attacked and drained of blood. And I was lucky enough, because it's the tropics, they buried most of the bodies. But there was one left, and I actually did an autopsy on it. Now, I've cut up bodies, and I've been doing this as a hobby for many years. Even when I was a kid, I was fascinated by animals. And I've been cutting up dead animals since I was a little boy. And I've cut up everything from the size of an earthworm to the size of a whale. And although I've never actually cut up a human being, I've been present at a human being's autopsy. I know my way around dead bodies.
Jonathan, quite a hobby, huh?
Why do you think I'm still single, you know? You go onto a dating site on the internet and they say, "Hi, what are your hobbies?" I say, "I cut up dead bodies." And suddenly the chicks disappear. So, I mean, if there's any girls out there listening to the show who actually want to date a fat man who likes cutting up dead bodies, hey, get my phone number from George. But one of the interesting things is as soon as an animal dies in the tropics, the micro-predators, the burying beetles, the blowflies, they all move in within minutes of death. And this thing was 2 days after it had died. And the most striking thing was that there was no micro-predation. The only entry or exit wounds on the body were a hole about the size of my little finger in the chest bone, in the breastbone.
Mm-hmm.
And so, rib cage. too early in the morning in England here, and a tiny puncture wound in the neck. And whereas normally with a dead body that's been out in the tropical heat for 2 days, it's expected to be riddled with little holes from predatory insects, there was nothing. It was almost as if the insects, the micro-predators in the area knew that the body was poisoned. They wouldn't touch it. When I opened this thing up, I found it was completely drained of blood. And it had been laying for 2 days on very dry, fine sand, very fine, dry, dusty dirt. And there was no blood on the ground, no blood on any of the dead leaves, and there was no blood in the body. Then when I opened up the body cavity, there was a connecting membrane between the body cavity and the chest cavity, which was unbroken. And there were no holes in the body cavity, but the liver was missing. And I have absolutely no explanation for this. This is something completely beyond my understanding as a zoologist.
Indeed.
Then a few weeks later, I was in Mexico, and I saw a piece of horribly frightening film. Back in 1996, in July 1996, there was a little farm in the middle of the Puebla desert which was attacked, and two sheep and a goat had been attacked by this thing. 11 hours after the attack, the vet finally turned up. The vet had been called to sign the insurance documents, and this is the frightening thing. These three animals were still alive. 11 hours after the attack, she shot two of them immediately to put them out of their misery. But the third one, I've got this on video, and the creature was completely drained of blood, but it was still alive. It was staggering around. It was still reacting to light. It was still reacting to touch. But this vet, a very pretty girl called Soledad de la Peña,
uh-huh,
put a white cotton glove on her hand, made her hand into a fist, and put this fist into the hole in the side of the thoracic cavity, and put her whole fist inside, and took it out again, and there was no blood on the no blood on her hand.
That's just
the whole body was completely drained of blood, and according to the autopsy report, again the liver had been removed, and this is something which is completely beyond not just my comprehension, but the comprehension of any orthodox zoology. This is something which logically cannot happen, cannot exist. But I know it does exist, so we have to rewrite the rule book.
Does it appear that the chupacabras then take out, however they do it, the liver from these domestic animals that they attack?
All the blood, and usually the liver, yes.
So what is it about the liver that they want so much? They must need something for their nutrition in their bodies.
I would love to be able to answer that question with a snappy answer, but the truth is we just don't know. I mean, we are right at the beginning of treating vampire research as a serious branch of science rather than something which lunatics wearing silly clothes hang around in graveyards that might do. This is just we're right at the beginning of vampirology as a serious science. And the truth is, I really don't know the answer.